Hi everyone, this is Scott Tripp again from Blockcast. Happy to be here again today with the great Alex Cooper from Footprint Analytics. I'll let him introduce himself as well.
Hey everybody, I just want to say thanks, Scotty. What an intro, man. That was amazing. Thanks. Definitely made my day. But yeah, I'm Alex. I'm from Footprint Analytics. And we're just coming to bring you some more market reports and some daily news. So I'm happy to be here again, Scott. And why don't you kick it off? Tell the guys what we're going to be listening to today.
We got some articles on what is happening with that Signature Bank, as well as we can talk about the Silicon Valley Bank again as well. It's really a combined thing, but it's interesting the story that we're kind of hearing online versus what I think is reality, and we'll break that down today and hopefully be one of the first actually to really tell the truth of what we think is happening. And I think people will have to listen to this for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I figured, why don't we just kick it off too with another commodity report like we did last week. So I'm going to hit it with just a start here. Talking to the energy sector, man, they're taking a bit of a hit today, down 4 points across the board, 12 points for NYMEX, really getting it. And then let's look at precious metals. Again, a great time, especially talking about banks collapsing, right? It's gold is up 20 points in the day on both sides, which is pretty nice. Great way to start. And then agriculture, we got corn and wheat is up, but cocoa, for some reason, probably something to do with the environment, I don't know, but cocoa's down 42 points today. It's crazy. Moving over to the actual stock index today, we're looking at the Dow Jones is down just about point of a point. S&P 500 is down 0.7. The Nasdaq's barely down. The market's looking pretty strong actually today. It's only down less than a point all across the board. So that's not too bad. Let's take a price of take a look at price of Bitcoin now and Ethereum. So Bitcoin is 24,452 is the current price according to CoinDesk here. Let me share my screen. You guys can take a peek. I'll take that right here. There we go. So Bitcoin is $24,476 bucks right now. We can see it's down 4.3%. Ethereum is down 6.3% today. Everything else kind of follows. So we really see Bitcoin going down, and so does a lot of other networks. Tokens. So let's that's kind of it for the commodity report. We had a crazy week, or end of the week last week was really crazy. A lot of speculation, honestly it's been a really crazy week in response. Why don't you start, Scott? What do you think about what happened?
It's been very, very crazy the last little while. I don't think anybody was expecting as massive of a fallout from Silicon Valley Bank. But I mean, it was though in the end too, right? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of divided on the whole thing, but I mean, this article should shed light on what we found, Alex. And I don't know if a lot of people are picking up on this, and there's a lot of debate out there on it. So let's show people what we found. And we just did a little bit of digging yesterday to find this. So, and I find it really interesting. So as you can see here, watcher guru, but that doesn't matter much. FTX Signature Bank charged in lawsuit, SBF permitted to contact some employees. FTX has been consistently making it to the cryptocurrency news headlines. Just a day back, it was reported that the exchange debtors sent confidential letters to political figures, political action funds, and other recipients of donations, contributions. Now FTX wants all the funds back by February 28, 2023. According to another development that has just unraveled, New York-based Signature Bank has been named in a lawsuit filed by investment firm Statistica Capital. The bank has been charged for playing a role in FTX's collapse by authorizing the exchange to merge customers' accounts with its blockchain network. It shows here Signature Bank was accused in a lawsuit by an investment firm of facilitating the FTX collapse by allowing the new defunct crypto exchange to commingle customer accounts with its blockchain network. According to the plaintiff, the banks did so despite noting suspicious FTX transfers via its Signet blockchain payment network. The 87-page complaint was filed on Monday in federal court in Manhattan. Statistica Capital lodged the case as proposed class action. It intends to retrieve damages for itself and other entities that took a hit as a result of Signature's malfeasance. But the big thing here is, and what I find interesting, is there's a lot of debate on why Signature Bank was closed. And what the debate is they're saying the government went after it because it was a crypto bank and the employees were coming out saying they had the funds to handle everything. There's no reason for them to get closed. But in the end, there is significant reason with the ongoing FTX lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the government's wanting to shut this down, especially with everything that's going on right now. Why wouldn't they want to protect something like this happening again? And the other side of it, and you might agree with this, Alex, is I bet you the government is going to be looking through these files with a fine-tooth comb to figure out what other companies potentially were doing the same thing. And that is the question. I'm wondering.
And I just came across an article on Cointelegraph today. Signature Bank regulator says it was closed for not providing data. So if you want it, that's kind of, I just found that today. If you want to take a quick peek at this, Scott, I'll read this article out here. So, can you guys see my screen okay?
Yep.
Great. So Signature Bank regulator says it was closed for not providing data. So here's a report on this. A member of the bank's board previously claimed the agency wanted to send a message against crypto. So again, this is kind of echoing what you're saying here, Scott. The New York State Department of Financial Services, NYDFS, shut down Signature Bank for failing to provide consistent and reliable data, and not because of a bias against crypto. According to a 2014 report from the International Business Times, Signature Bank board member Barney Frank had previously accused the regulatory agency of shutting it down merely to send a very strong anti-crypto message. But they're saying, obviously, no, you just didn't provide us the data.
Well, what
do you think that data was about?
Yes, obviously, but I think there's probably more than that. It depends
on
who's using the bank in the end. Exchanges were using it too. Are we going to find out? And I'm just making assumptions here. There's no fact. But are we going to find out maybe Binance was using Signature Bank or one of the other big, top 30 exchanges were using it? And they're going to find that there was commingling of accounts in other areas as well as FTX.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like I'd like to see what other crypto companies or whoever was involved is also with Signature, right? Because, I mean, in the world of crypto, there is a lot of regulations, at least in the States. I'm Canadian, right? So based on my knowledge of what's in the States, is like it takes a long time. If you got a token, it takes a long time to get this all set up. And within legal standards, like we're talking like over a year, maybe 2 years, sometimes 2.5 years. It takes a long time to get this all legal. And you know that, like, if I got a good product, like let's get it out there, man. And I bet you know, there's a lot of things that were just on the cusp of getting approved, but you know, hasn't been, but they've been operating already, you know. I really wonder what's going to go down here. But I'm
interested to see, because I think there's more to the story and we're probably going to be.
So there's Coinbase, Celsius, and Paxos.
Yeah.
Crypto exchange Gemini had also previously partnered with Signature, but it stated on March 13th that it did not have any funds at the bank. So we're really just looking at here of people that just got screwed through FTX, right? Celsius, Coinbase is on here as well. That's like Coinbase is getting tossed through the dirt this whole week.
You hear about the Bitcoin thing where the owner said that they had, I forget if it was like how many Bitcoin that he said, and these guys came out and said there's no physical possible way that Coinbase says they have as many Bitcoins as they did because they know how many Bitcoins are in the network, like have been positioned with everybody, and the amount that the CEO is saying that they have is not even close to a reality. So they're kind of questioning the funds. So maybe this is another Signature Bank thing that they're going to be looking into the funds that they
well did. You know what, let me show you some data that I've been checking out. I've been following this pretty closely. Is so footprint, we got this proof of reserves, right? Did I show you this, Scott? I don't. Oh, this is sweet. Okay, cool. So check this out. So I've been following ever since the USDC scandal and Coinbase is making the move. I've been following their proof of reserves here. And we can see their how much of their USDC they lost over the weekend. This is how many of their tokens.
USDC to something else, right? Or no?
Well, look, so that's what you'd think, right? But instead, people are just taking it off the exchange. Wow. So, like, this is how much. I don't think this is completely updated yet, but we had about under $1 million of USDC left at Coinbase.
They're keeping a lot of funds right now from.
Yeah. And then, like, I also want to point out the Ethereum balance change as well. I think this is pretty crazy. I'd like to. So this is like, remember, that on balance, this doesn't tell you the value, but it tells you how many of the tokens have moved. So I guess we have, and this is the balance of what they have currently left. But with this, but 63% of this moved, like out. That's like crazy.
As well, wrapped Bitcoin, they're saying token balance 249, so not even close to what they're saying. But do you know what's interesting is that might tell you too as well, people are moving some of this stuff onto exchanges at the moment too as well to trade. That'd be my one.
Yeah, or like, you know, they're just trying to get it out.
24 hour. Look at
that. Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. So this is just like a little thing that we made at Footprint or API, but I think it's really interesting to look at, and I think it shows what the people are kind of thinking as well here is like,
well,
you know, when there's like, when a stablecoin depegs, you guys, like, it sucks. That sucks. That's like not good news. it's like really sucks, actually, and especially something that's supposed to be, like, I'm going to keep it real. I had a great, great opinion of USDC for a long time. Way more than USDT and any other stablecoin. I was like, USDC is it. And then they depegged to like 86 cents. And then they got back to 95 cents by like a weekend, still not repegging. Like it's a disaster. Like, no one likes that. Yes. Guess what? Monday morning when the banks opened, it repegged. It was great. Everybody was sweet. Yeah. Okay. I guess this, we'll talk about SVB too, but you know, we had great news about SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, about how, I'm sorry, Scott, maybe you want to talk about that, but
I got one article just to show. We can kind of talk about this because I find this interesting. So I don't know if you watched the Biden speech and him saying that everything was going to be okay with the banks and not to worry. And then shortly after his big speech where he walked off the stage, there's this article, Moody's cuts outlook on U.S. banking system to negative, citing rapidly deteriorating operating environment. That kind of, in a harsh blow to an already reeling sector, Moody's Investor Series cut its view on the entire banking system to negative from stable. The firm, part of the Big Three rating services, said Monday it was making the move in light of key bank failures that prompted regulators to step in on Sunday with dramatic rescue plans for depositors and other institutions impacted by the crisis. We have changed to negative from stable our outlook on the U.S. banking system to reflect the rapid deterioration in the operating environment, following deposit runs at Silicon Valley Bank, Silvergate Bank, and Signature Bank, and the failures of SVB and SNY, Moody said in a report. But I guess in the end, like, that's funny. Like, it was just previous to this. Don't worry, everyone. Banking system's okay. We're okay. Biden showing up in the press thing, and then all the stocks fail. I think they fell by 40% in the end. Mm-hmm. So, like, banking stocks. So, I mean, if people listened to Biden and took his advice, they would have lost about 40% of what they had previous to that. So,
Yeah. And you too, maybe I'll just throw it in case you guys are listening here are confused on, you know, why these banks are going insolvent. CoffeeZilla released a really great video that might be able to explain it a bit better than me. But essentially what happened was when you got billions of dollars, treasury bonds are a very, very safe guaranteed investment. And no one really expects bank runs, right? So they have these funds locked up. And then interest rates go up. So now that these treasury bonds that are guaranteeing you 1% are now selling for 5%. So you take a fat hit. So, right, because originally they have the capital, right, but they're illiquid, right? They don't have immediate access to it, right? So then you can go from illiquid to insolvent really quick, due to these higher selling interest, right? So they've taken a bit of a hit, right? That's why when you look at SVB, they took like a total of $1.8 billion in losses, which was more than they made since like 2013 or something, which is just crazy, right? It's because of this bank run. And that's why this is happening right now. And that's why people don't have faith, right? So like, again, at the time, me as a whole, right, if I go to the bank and I don't care if I got $1 million, $2 million, $1 billion, if I want my money, I want my money. Like, pull it out, dude. And I want it all in 20s, please. Or whatever. Just like say however I want. But it's my money, right? Pull it out. Right? I've already paid to keep it there.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what's funny is anything over a $10,000 transaction is reported to FinTrack, is imported to the people that want to know what's going on. I've talked to friends in the States personally that said if you pull out over $20,000, I believe it is, you're automatically reported and audited by the US government, for especially if it's a business pulling out funds. So you can imagine all these businesses and different people pulling funds out of the banks the last little while. I'm pretty sure the government's going to be busy auditing funds for the next while, unless they let it under the realization that people aren't comfortable. The system's broke. These guys are going to continue to print money the way that they feel fit. They're talking about even potentially raising or lowering interest rates again to stop the crisis from happening. Which, I mean, in the end, does that really help? Is that going to be the solution to all the problems? I
actually don't think so. Truthfully, I'm a believer of raising the rates a little bit more. Guess what? I read the report. Inflation slowed down to 6% last month. Sweet, man. 6%? No. Bring that way more down, okay? I'm not happy with 6%. Am I happier than an 8%? Yeah, that makes me happy. But 6% long term doesn't make me happy at all, actually. That really sucks, right? What do we try to aim for in standard jobs? Like what's a standard job raise increase per year that we'd want to match inflation? 6%, that's crazy, right? 6%, right, to match inflation and then still make some money on top of it. That means I'm trying to ask for 8% raise every year. Like that's just like thinking about businesses too, like we always like to harp on the man, but there's still a lot of small businesses that this isn't sustainable for, right? And it just helps. It honestly helps bring in more corporations. And I'm all about, like, you know, let's bring in some mom and pops. And when inflation's high, prices go up, everything goes up, right? And then employees want raises, right? And we should be able to provide our employees raises that also aren't going to tank the bank.
Yeah. Well, and you got to think too, like, the only safe bet, and that's why I think you originally seen the raise after those bank issues, you seen Bitcoin shoot up over 26,000 US.
Yeah, it reached 9-month highs. That's crazy.
Yeah, the confidence, right? Like, it has to be in cryptocurrency. You know how much is there. You know the value of it. I mean, it is up and down 100%. And there's moments where you go through bull markets and bear markets. But in the end, it typically always goes back to where it was originally, right? So, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, and two, we took a bit of a hit today. But that's to be expected, truthfully. Like, I mean, we just hit 9-month highs yesterday. It's probably going to, people are going to dip out. People are going to liquidate. People made some money. So, like, it's obviously expected to take a bit of a dip. But, I mean, there's some, you know, it's really crazy how you can go from zero confidence in crypto and in banks on like Friday of last week to just complete confidence again back into crypto and less confidence in banks. I mean, truthfully, I hope this was a big wake up call for a lot of people holding money, holding substantial amounts of money in banks, and keeping it insured. I guess there's obviously times where that's not always possible all the time when you're transferring funds and stuff like this, but you know, it's, I hope we see a lot more of this as well, so that this doesn't happen to, because, you know, again, right, there's still a lot of small tech guys in the Bay Area that got really affected by this lockup, and sure, the funds will be accessible, but there's tiers of who gets it first, from what my understanding is, and right, sometimes it could take, you're going to get the money back, right? It's going to happen, but it's just the fact of the matter is how long is it going to take to get that?
Get it first, right? That's what I think was said. Like, if you had over 250,000 in the bank, I think you had priority first over the smaller accounts. I don't know if it was 250 or 25,000, but I mean, that just tells you like that divide in the US, I feel anyways, between the rich and poor, and why people are looking at things like Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies as a way to separate themselves from that divide and give themselves an opportunity to really grow too as well.
Well, too, I'll throw it to the other side of the coin here too, Scott, and say like how, you know, maybe it is for the best to let these bigger accounts get the withdrawals first, because a lot of this would be for payroll, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? If a lot of people maybe don't have enough savings to pay their rent, but their paycheck does, you know? So, you know, in that side of the coin, like, so it might be for the best if payroll is getting locked up, especially if it's mainly a business bank instead of a peer-to-peer. But, you know, again, like when we talk about crypto, like, this is where you really see the trust starting to come in and stuff like that, Scott. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's where even back in the day, Satoshi even said it was going to be the next time that we had a large collapse, that we would see Bitcoin separating itself away from what it is today, or what most people say anyways would happen. And it's the truth that people don't have confidence in what the government's doing anymore and what the banking system is doing as a whole. So I'm just curious to see what will happen, I guess, and where that final separation will be, because we're still not 100% separated from the market yet.
Well, I swear it's pretty close once we start seeing how expensive things are at the grocery store and the government not doing too much about it. Like, that's like, you know, we see Loblaws and stuff. I guess we can speak as Canadians, but we see Loblaws and stuff getting pulled into Parliament. You can question and stuff, but like, you know, I just cannot believe the price that we're paying to eat right now. And I think once people start seeing have no money, all their money just going to food, you know, that's like, that's like the first step here. Like, people get pissed. And at least maybe I speak for myself. Like, I don't like going to the grocery store too much. I got to get a Costco card for a reason. I'm stocking up.
Well, and where's the credibility? Like, at least on blockchain, if you're wondering what's going on or what's happening, there's that credibility there. Right now, we're not seeing we will in the end see it, but the Sobeys, the Savons, in Walmarts in the States, and the different grocery stores they have, are we seeing the profit that these grocery stores are making at the moment? Like, and I know they're substantial the last little while, and the prices are almost in a way gouging, but the government isn't stopping them either at the moment from gouging me or you from being.
Well, and I think too, the thing is, like, it's really just a loophole to get this information out. It's a pain, right? It's how, if I don't want to show you this information, how can I drag it out as long as possible? Yeah. Right. And so it makes it difficult, and that's why the blockchain is really sweet, and that's why I think blockchain for logistics is really interesting. I think it's a really great tool, adding just every single kind of aspect of logistics, already how technical and how precise logistics is as a whole, but putting the blockchain transparency behind it and adding, say, proof of location and all of these digital receipts that are immutable, right? You know, like, it's very hard to go back and change up these receipts, because guess what? You really can't. So bringing logistics onto the blockchain is a perfect solution for grocery stores, and grocery stores don't really like this solution because they can hide a lot of things, especially some companies as big as Loblaws in Canada, right? It's very, very nice, and it will improve the industry a lot more. And I also think blockchain logistics will be really great once we start moving to full driverless transportation. I think that it's just the automated process just makes it way more smooth for AI driving, which, like it or not, it's going to happen, you guys. Who knows when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. So in San Francisco, I checked out those Waves, which are these Jaguars that have just hit in the cameras all the way around, and reflectors, thing goes, it's cool. And they're like driverless taxis.
Oh, that's amazing. So what, I guess with Footprint, do you have a favorite chart right now that you would suggest people look at, I guess, in closing for the last few minutes? Is there one chart in particular you suggest people to look at Footprint too? Ollie's okay. Like, say something good about you guys.
Yeah, let me share it, man. Okay, so I have a couple, like I'll share what I think is really cool right now with some really cool dashboards. So what I recommend for you guys is go right to our analytics section. Our website's footprint.network /dashboards. But we have some really cool dashboards that are being made right now. And it's very, very exciting. So I always like to go by a new date to check out some new cool stuff. But token airdrop monitoring is sweet. Live minting monitoring. God, there's just some cool ones coming out right now. But here, I'll show you my personal favorite dashboard or my personal favorite chart. So go to my profile here. And I'll go to charts. So Chimpers wash trading. So I got this wash trading chart, Scott. And I sent this to you as well. I'll send this to show you guys all how to do it. Okay. So I have this Chimpers wash trading. So we are able to detect organic and inorganic volume on our Footprint NFT charts, which are sweet. So what I do is I go right to here and I check out any collection I'm about to ape into based on our definitions. What's our definitions of wash trading? If the price has been inflated very high off the floor price, it is bought and sold more than a normal amount of times in a day, and has been bought and sold more than a normal amount of times in a short period of time, like 2 hours or so. All right. So what you do is you go to this chart here. You can always search it in the bar. go to edit, bang. First, you'll have to duplicate it, but I like to edit it. Believe it or not, you guys, first thing you do, go to advanced. It's the easiest way. And I just copy and paste the contract address that I want to see if it's being wash traded or not into this filter right down here. Don't worry about this stuff. You guys chill on this stuff. Don't worry about that. This, chill out. All you need to worry about is this. So let's add one and let's do contract slug. And let's see if I can search Azuki here just for kicks. There we go, Azuki. Add this filter. Get rid of this. Let's visualize it.
Collection slug.
Yeah, so.
Oh, wow.
We can notice in the last, now this is heavily, I bet you this is all to do with blur here, but we can see a ton of wash trade volume for Azuki ever since blur started doing their airdrop. But before it's relatively solid collection, right? Not much actual volume going down in the bear market, but I mean, it's good volume until blur happened here. But you know, what I could do is I could just save this. This is a new chart, and we'll do this wash trading of Azuki. Again, this is another reason why I'm not the biggest fan of tokens for NFT marketplaces for volume, but it is what it is. And yeah, that's just a chart that I made real quick. And you can do that with any Ethereum collection address on Footprint for the most part, all right? If it's on OpenSea or across one of the 17 marketplaces, you can have a good chance of finding it by their collection address. How do we do that? You go to their Etherscan, copy, paste, and bada bing, bada boom.
Well, thank you so much for showing that. That's a huge one. So people, if you want to know if your project that you're going to go into potentially is legit or not, this is a perfect way to obviously see what's going on with your project.
Like, absolutely.
And we got,
and I mean,
left on the thing, just so you're aware. I'm not sure if you see it as much as I do, but
yeah, I see it. I'm all good to go. But I just wanted to say, yeah, it's just like, beware too of looking at these top collections. That blur is a thing now. It's slowed down, but it was a thing. So just keep that as in the back of your mind when you see all this inorganic volume. There is a reason for it, and it's, yeah, we'll see how that goes. I have definitely lost.
I think it's up to these traders sooner or later, like the inorganic value or volume. What Footprint is making comes out and more people realize it, they're going to be caught in the game that they're playing.
Well, like we were talking last week, it's just a small amount of people doing it, and these airdrops aren't really being rewarded to the collections themselves that the guys that made the art that's worth these insane amounts of Ethereum, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So
the traders that own multiples of them, it just creates that separation again, which I hate to see, but what are we going to do, right?
Well, and I mean, like, but that, let's keep it real, right? NFTs are driven by volume.
Yeah.
Right? Marketplaces themselves are driven by volume. Yeah, I want to buy at a marketplace that has high volume. That's why it's so hard to have a breakout marketplace, right? That's the new off the rip, right? We got to do some market making here. And truthfully, too, it's why we see a lot of aggregators pulling in everything for faster speeds, because you know it's so hard. It's just so hard just to launch a marketplace right now.
Well, thank you so much for showing that, Alex. And I know that people are going to really enjoy this video, what we did for breakdowns and talking about Footprint and wash trading as well at the end, which was a bonus. So thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, Scott. I really enjoy coming out, joining these videos. And again, if you guys watch this whole thing, really love to hear what you think. Leave a comment, like, subscribe, you know, get the whole deal going down, because we want to know and we want to improve. So if you really like these videos, let us know what you think. Let us know what you'd like to be changed up. And yeah, just keep it real. All right.
That's great. Thank
you. Talk to you later.
Talk to you guys.
All right. Bye now.